Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Sometimes that waiting can feel like it's taking a very, very, very long time. How many of you like to give God time frames? I know I do. Okay, God, I would like you to do this, but if you could do it by then, that would be great. As if my suggestions to God are just awesome. And I feel like we often are in that place of waiting. And so I'm preaching a message this morning, which I've called While We Wait. Because so much happens in that place while we are waiting. And the scripture, which is just so beautiful, it's Psalm 27, 14, and it says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." And I think for many of us, waiting is not our strong point. And you know, God starts that scripture, "Wait patiently." I think too many of us are waiting impatiently, hurriedly trying to speed the process up. And you know, I have four children, as they said, and sometimes they are all asking me for something at the same time. And someone's crying, someone's answering, and sometimes I just go, just hang on. And for four children, that is not a good enough answer. They want what they want, and they want it right now. And you know, we are like that with God sometimes. God, we want it, and we want it right now. And sometimes God is just going, okay, wait. And our response is not, okay, God, help me wait, but it's for how long exactly? And waiting is, it should be in our lives demonstrating a confident expectation that God, while I'm waiting here, I'm waiting confidently in faith and expectation that you are going to come through. That you are going to do what is needed in this situation. And really the scripture here talks about be brave and courageous because sometimes waiting requires bravery and courage. We sometimes have to be very brave while we wait, very courageous. It's not an easy thing to wait for God to come through. And really human nature is impatient. By default, I think we are impatient. And really, patience is not my strong point at all. I like to do things, let's just get it done. And so the other night, Simon wasn't home and I was trying to sort out the kids and cook supper. So I put something in the oven, something on the stove, and then decided, well, I will try to be a super mom and let me bath the kids at the same time. So it was all going on. Simon walks into, I think, like black smoke wafting out the kitchen because I'd realized that while I was upstairs, the food had completely burnt. So we get to the oven, open the oven, and there's these like black crisp chicken schnitzels. So we had to scrap supper. And that simply was because of my impatience. If I had made dinner, bathed the kids, we would have actually had an edible dinner. But instead, my impatience caused me to try speed up the process, and all it did was make a mess. And you know, God is always in a process with us. And when we try rush the process, we miss out on what God actually wants to do in us while we are waiting. Because God is a very strategic God. He doesn't do things by accident and, oh, that's a good idea, it popped into my brain. No, God is a God of strategy. And so while we are waiting, there is always a process of what he is wanting to do in our lives while we wait. And we live in a society where we instant. We want to send, I mean, who even writes letters anymore? Does anyone here write a letter? Well done. Like that is impressive. You know, I'm just type an email, send. Okay, I want them to answer me now. You know, we send a WhatsApp and we check, is there one tick or two? Because we know you've read it, so you need to get back to me. You know what I'm talking about? And that is the society we're living in. But, you know, sometimes the principles of God are completely opposite to that. He's going, you're not getting two ticks straight away. I am making you wait. And I feel like for many of us, God is like in a holding pattern where he's going, hold, just hold. I am busy doing what I need to do. And so I think my first point is that sometimes we have to embrace the season of waiting. We actually have to embrace it. And as I said, kids sometimes have the ability to just stop you in your tracks. How a two-year-old can cause the entire world to stop. It's still a phenomenon, but it happens. And you know, I feel like I've been in this season of children for a very long time. And we had an amazing conference at our church about a month ago. Leanne and Andre were actually with us. And on the one night, I was sitting in the offices by myself trying to put two babies to sleep. And I was really having a moan with God. Like, God, I've been here too long. I'm a little bit over this. Enough now. And I was being very frustrated. And as I walked out, finally after them getting to sleep, the end song was playing. And the first person I bumped into said, "Wasn't that incredible?" And I just looked at them like a... And then I heard another report. Like, that was a shifting moment in our church. Well, I shifted nothing except from one baby to the next. And really, I was having like a bit of a pity party for myself, as we do very well. And, you know, I had a thought, God, I've got two options in this situation. I can fight it or I can embrace it. Because if I keep fighting, all I'm doing is causing myself to be frustrated. But if I embrace it, I actually allow you to do something in me which only you can do in this season. And I don't know how frustrated you are right now, maybe where you are at, but I do know that sometimes we have to just walk through those seasons. We can't rush them. We embrace them and we just have to wait. And you know, in hindsight, we often look back and think, yo, that season was actually really small or really quick. But in that place, it doesn't feel like it. But true to God's word, seasons happen. Summer, autumn, winter, but spring will come. And so whatever, you might be in a winter season right now, but I promise you, spring will come in its right time and in its right order. Do not fight it, but rather embrace. And we need to stop. And you know, I realized in that moment of me having like a wrestle with God that I was turning my blessing into a hardship. My blessing of my children, who are just our greatest blessings, I was actually seeing them as a hardship because I was frustrated in what it was causing me to do and slow down and wait. And I was turning a blessing into hardship. And I thought, God, I'm sorry, because this is not a hardship. It might be hard, but it's not a hardship I'm having to walk through. This is the greatest blessing I might have. And for some of you in that season, do not let the enemy turn your difficulties and actually the blessing into a hardship, because it's hard. Life is hard. I wish it was easy, but it's not. But so often we turn those blessings into hardship because we just want to hurry it up. And so my second point is, what happens while we wait? And you know, we all know the story of Joseph. I'm just going to give a very brief outline because I could preach 10 sermons on him. But you know, Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He was the first child that he had with his wife, Rachel, really making him his father's favorite. This favoritism, I think, caused his brothers to resent him. And Joseph then had a dream that all his brothers were going to bow down to him. In hindsight, it was probably not a wise thing to tell all your brothers who already thought you were their dad's favorite that you were all going to bow down to me. Like, lesson 101, what not to do to your siblings. And so what did they do? Like any normal family, they plotted to kill him. But they really, you know, almost went through with it. The oldest brother said, no, Reuben, let's not kill him. Let's rather sell him into slavery. Like, this could be a movie. I think it makes Prison Break look really mild. But basically, he was sold into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar, who he worked for 11 years. You kind of think, well, my God, surely 11 years is quite an extreme amount of time to make him wait. Like, we have to wait 11 days, 11 months, but this was 11 years. Potiphar's wife took a bit of a liking to him and tried to seduce him. Joseph remained with integrity in his heart, and that caused him to be chucked into prison. Then he was in prison for 2 years and had a dream. Someone had a dream. He interpreted it. They forgot about him for another 2 years. Like, this is just not getting better. Eventually, he interprets, Pharaoh has a dream. They call for Joseph. He interprets the dream. He's then made ruler second to Pharaoh in Egypt. And so, like, that sounds like a nice story, but Joseph had 13 years of waiting for the deliverance of God. 11 years as a slave, 2 years in prison. And I think a lot went on in his heart and in his life in those years. And I want to just look at 3 points here. I believe that, number one, waiting often exposes our heart and our motives. And sometimes those heart, our own heart and our motive actually just needs to be exposed to us because God already knows our hearts. God already knows our motives. But a lot happens in our hearts in that waiting. We really get to see who we are. And sometimes when we really see who we are, it can be a little bit scary because we see the ugliness of our heart condition. But I believe God uses those moments of waiting to actually expose us to our own hearts and to our own motives so we can make them right before God. Because often we start out thinking what we are trusting God for is noble, but meantime it's actually self-serving and really that's it. And God uses the waiting to reveal our own hearts and motives. I also believe number two is that God uses the waiting to transform our character. You know, I can imagine Joseph had quite a bit to deal with. He had to deal with rejection from his brothers who threw him in a pit. He probably had to deal with the pride of being his father's favorite. He had to deal with loneliness and isolation and a place of being in prison. And you know, you can be in a place of waiting, but still not allow God to deal with your hearts. It's your choice. You know, we have often two options in a situation. Is God deal with me? Or God, I'm so frustrated, you have just forgotten me. But it's our choice how we respond. And often God leaves us in that place of waiting until we get to the place where we respond and say, okay, God, here I am. Do what you want me to do. Do what you need to do in my heart. Do what you need to transform my character. And I look back on seasons of waiting and I'm so grateful that God kept me in that holding pattern because if he didn't, it would have been a complete mess now. But God knew what he needed to do in me. And so it's like he held me there for those moments and dealt with my heart and dealt with my character and dealt with the things inside of me that I allowed him to do. And so this morning, if I can encourage you to do anything is respond in a place where God, do what you want to do. Because then we just walk around the mountain like the Israelites, around and around and around. And sometimes it's just, okay, God, here I am. I cannot move out of this place of waiting. But what I'm doing is I'm responding and saying, God, do what it is that you are wanting to do. I believe that number three, the process teaches us to trust God. Because we are very much self-made people. I trust in me and I'm just going to do it. Where God actually wants us to trust him. And I read this in a commentary. It says, Joseph's life teaches us that disappointments are vital to spiritual growth because they demand faith and resting all hope upon God. And often it's only when we are out of options do we turn to God. Like everything else has not worked. Every plan we've tried to make, everything we've tried to put our hope in has not worked. We're out of options. So we go, okay, I've got no other option but God. But church, even as we sang this morning, God will not fail you. Because the God we serve is a trustworthy God. You can place your faith, your confidence, and your hope in him more than anything else in the world. And rather, do not wait until you are out of options to trust him. But trust him first up. God, I'm in here. You are the only one I can put my hope and our confidence in. Allow the process to teach you to trust him. And number four, I believe the process prepares us. Waiting was a necessary time for the preparation of Joseph's life because God released him into a place of complete rulership. But unless the process had prepared him, that would not have happened. It was his righteousness that gave him the promotion. It was his integrity that gave him the promotion. It was his faithfulness to God in the midst of adversity that gave him the promotion. And he probably, it's not written there, but I can imagine him thinking, God, actually thank you for this process that I had to go through because this process was the thing that led me to promotion. And God has some of you this morning in a holding place. He's holding you back because he is busy working something. He is busy working something. James 1 verse 3 to 4 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then your endurance grows even stronger, and it will release perfection into every part of your being until nothing is missing and nothing is lacking." And God often holds us in that place of waiting till we get to the place where nothing is missing and nothing is lacking, because we have grown stronger and we have walked into perfection. Now, what is perfection? It's just the image of God, and we will never attain to complete perfection, but we are always in the process working towards it. God is always there in the waiting. God will not leave you. He will never, never leave you. In church, you have to believe it, because some of you feel like, "God, where are you?" And I've said that to God in times of my life. "God, are you even here? Where are you? I cannot see you. I cannot feel you. I cannot even hear you in this place." But church, that's why faith is required. And we're going to go, my last point is, how are we waiting, actively or faithful? But church, sometimes we actually just have to have faith in that waiting, that God is still there. Even if you don't feel him, even if you can't hear him, even if you can't see him, God is there. My third point is that God's timing is always perfect. There's a scripture in John 11 where the disciples came to Jesus and they said to him, "Your friend Lazarus is very sick." And so it goes on and it says, when Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. After the 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And you think, okay, Jesus, you know your friend is sick and they've called you to come, but you stayed 2 more days. And you know, there was a commentary in one of the things I was studying which says Jesus's delay of 2 days shows what he had taught consistently, namely that his marching orders came exclusively from the Father. Neither the need of his closest friends nor the fury of the enemy determined his actions. Church, God is not moved by our emotional tantrums and outbursts. We stomp our feet. Or maybe it's just me. I can be a bit expressive. But like my emotional outburst and my tantrum before God, do you know he is not moved? God is not moved by my tantrum. God is not even moved by my begging. Because sometimes we move out of a place of faith and we just head straight to begging. "Jesus, Jesus, please." And God is not moved by our emotional outbursts or tantrums or responses. God is only moved by what? Faith. But so often we are so guided by our emotions and how we are feeling right now that it determines even our response to God. It's so emotional. It's so coming out of a place of my human weakness instead of actually just standing in a place of faith, because God is not moved by our emotional outbursts. Begging does not move him. John 11, 32 goes on to say, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." And isn't that so like us? God, if you had only listened to me. Please tell me someone else other than me has said that to God. God, if you had only listened to me, we wouldn't be in this place. Like the God of heaven and earth needed me to make a suggestion for him to move. But that's what we do. We think, "Jesus, if you had only done this earlier, if you had only walked according to my time frame, things would be different. I wouldn't be in this situation." Meantime, we're actually only in this situation because of our own bad decisions. From our perspective, we have everything figured out. And we want God to move within our time frames. But church, we don't have all the details. We are not able to see the future like God is. We don't see the whole picture. We only often see in hindsight what God was doing. So you know they say hindsight is 20/20 vision. And you down the road and you look back, you think, oh, okay, so you actually are God. Like you actually know what is best. John 11:40 says, and Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? So they rolled the stone aside. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it loud for the sake of all these people standing around here, so they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. We serve a God who sees everything, knows everything. And church, you know, if I look back on my life, and this might sound like a very strange statement, but I am incredibly grateful for the knows of God in my life. Those times where God said no. I am so grateful because if he had allowed, because you know, eventually when we refuse to do what God wants us, he will eventually, okay, well, you know, he's given us free will. So I have the ability to make my own decision. But I am so grateful for the fact that God said no to things and I actually listened because he could see ahead where I couldn't. And those no's have protected me. Those no's have kept me on the path that God has for my life. God's no's has produced the greatest fruit in my life. God's no's in my life has produced the very thing he wanted me to walk into because I responded to those no's in obedience. Things maybe I trusted for and didn't happen, God knew so much better. And you know, in these scriptures, you can see Jesus raised him from the dead. He did it according to his plan and his time frame. They try to work everything out so that he would be glorified. And our lives should be the things that speak of Jesus on this earth. The only thing that will speak of Jesus to someone who doesn't know him is your life. They're not going to read a Bible. They're not going to come into a church service, but they will see and read your life. And it needs to speak of the testimony of Jesus Christ, his goodness, his mercy, his love. And in the scripture, we see that God's time frame was perfect because it glorified him. I don't know if I'm on four. I think I'm on number four. How are you waiting? In this place, how are you waiting? And too often, we wait passively. We don't activate our faith. We just go through the motions of waiting. If it happens, it happens. And for some of you, you have waited for so long that the waiting has actually caused you to become negative. Never mind faithful. You've actually become negative. God is never going to come through. That negativity has caused a bitterness. Well, God, you don't actually care about me. You're not concerned about my life. Church, God is so concerned about every detail of your life. He is concerned about them. And do not let the enemy in that place of waiting cause you to become negative, cause you to become resentful, cause you to become bitter, because you're just going to keep on waiting in that place. Because it requires faith. It requires you being in that place of waiting with the expectation that God, you will come through. Do not let the enemy cause you to doubt and become disappointed in God. Church, God, we sang it, will never, ever fail you. And what happens is the enemy sows those seeds of disappointment and doubt. And we stay in that place where, God, you are not able to do this anymore, so I'm going to make my own plan. Yeah. And our own plans will not succeed. Do not allow your waiting period to make you hopeless about what tomorrow will bring. Do not waste the potential of your victory because you lack perseverance. That you will just not keep on waiting and you waste the potential of your victory because you actually give up. And if the enemy can give you to actually give up, he's won a battle. He's won the battle in your life if you just get to a place where you give up. Because so often, our lack of perseverance and when we give up is just before God is going to come through. And giving up too early, you will be robbed of that victory. Don't let the enemy cause you to step back in your life because you cannot wait any longer. Church, I want to tell you this morning, you can wait longer. You can be in that place of waiting because if you have faith in your heart that God is able to do miracles, you will see them happen. We have two responses, two options. We can be disappointed, but we respond in faith. Our response needs to be, God, while I am waiting, I will keep on stepping forward. I will keep on stepping forward, even if it's only one little step at a time. I will keep on stepping forward. I'm not going to let the enemy cause me to step backwards and lose the ground and the victory that was coming in that waiting. Because in that waiting, there is a process of moving forward. It's not just a passive waiting. It's that process of moving forward, step by step by step. And this morning, do not let the enemy rob you of the victory in that season of waiting because you give up. Do not let that, church. And I believe that God is, nothing will convince me otherwise, that God is able to do a miracle in a situation which seems absolutely hopeless and impossible. Because God is God. God is not confined or bound by our human limitations, our human understanding. He spoke and said, let there be light, and there is still light. So do not tell me that God cannot do a miracle. And I'm trusting him that you leave this morning with a heart so full of faith that you are able to go back into your place of waiting and to keep on standing and to keep on waiting, but believing that he will do what he said he would do. And so this morning, we've got just a few minutes left. And I want to pray over your lives this morning because I know that there are some of you are in that place where you feel hopeless and you think, God, I cannot wait anymore. God, I need you to deliver me out of this situation now. God, I need a job now. God, this marriage is falling apart. I cannot take it anymore. Church, God is wanting to bring you into victory. And while you are waiting, allow him to do what he wants you to do because your victory is on the way. It is around the corner. And do not step back as you are about to cross the finish line into that miracle. Do not step back as you are about to run through into the victory that God has for your life because you cannot stand anymore.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.